the city of Boston and the surrounding area in a lockdown this morning as a manhunt continues for the second suspect in the Marathon bombings, Dzhokhar Tsarnaev, who, with his brother, who died last night in a shootout in Watertown, have apparently lived in the Cambridge area for as long as a decade, at least for the last year. And the MIT campus near where they both lived, those two suspects, is in mourning this morning because of the death in that shootout last night at MIT of Sean Collier, a 26-year-old MIT police officer killed last night. I know the MIT campus very, very well. Certainly, the campus is closed. Harvard is closed. All the schools are closed here in Boston. Ryan Borker joins us, an MIT student who ran the marathon on Monday and is in the middle of the lockdown on a campus that is in mourning at this hour. Ryan Borker, your thoughts today, and what's the feeling on the MIT campus?
Well, I think the best way to describe it is people are very scared and in shock at the events of what's going on right now. And thankfully, most of the stream that I've seen either on Facebook and Twitter has been people saying that they're okay.
And Ryan, you know, we ran into your mother when we were down in Houston earlier this week, who was shocked by the events on Monday. I actually asked her if she was worried about you being at MIT. I'm sure she's worried about you this morning. But here's what she had to say when we ran into her in Houston.
I don't think you're safe anywhere. There's nowhere in the world today, whether it be Nigeria, where my son has traveled to, or Israel, or Houston, or Boston. If you can't be safe running the Boston Marathon, where can you be safe?
Ryan Borker, have you been in touch with your mother, assuring her that you are safely in lockdown?
Of course. I spoke with her this morning a couple of times and once last night, once the events had gone down and Twitter was exploding. You just want to make sure that everyone is safe. So I've been in contact with her a couple of times.
Are you doing okay?
I'm doing fine. I'm almost a bystander in this, and I can imagine the people that are out there are seeing this take place right outside of their house. It's been extraordinary to see the citizen journalism going on as well.
And we've had some of those voices on the program already today. Fotini Christia joins us, who we've spoken to many times on this program for very, very different reasons. She's an associate professor of political science at MIT. Fotini, your thoughts as you think about what happened on the MIT campus and just generally in this community?
Yeah, I mean, I'm someone who usually is on your show talking about Afghanistan, and now I had friends calling me from Afghanistan and Yemen and all the war zones I go to make sure we are okay in Boston. Things have been really tense, I feel, on the MIT campus. I mean, what the Institute has done is extraordinary. I've been receiving SMSs starting at 10:56 last night about the shooting and informing us to stay out, and every half hour since then, giving us updates. And also there was a false alarm on a suspicious package at 4:30 a.m. on 500 Memorial Drive. So they've been very good about making sure we're all safe, spreading the information, and communicating to everyone in the community. So to that regard, I think they're trying to do their best.
We're talking with Associate Professor Fotini Christia, a professor of political science at MIT. Also with us is MIT student Ryan Borker, together reacting to the events that resulted in the death of Sean Collier, a 26-year-old MIT police officer, as the police attempt to apprehend this final suspect, Dzhokhar Tsarnaev, who is at large considered armed and extremely dangerous. Fotini and Ryan, and, you know, interact with each other, if you like, as well. What does it mean that these individuals might have lived in the community for the last decade, just down the street, part of the Cambridge community? Ryan?
I think it speaks to a need for all of us to take care of each other. I think that's the thing that we need to do more of, because these guys, I've seen that they posted on their Facebook page that they didn't have American friends, and I don't I don't want to get into the minds of these people, but I think when you see something like this, there's no logic behind it. You can't really understand why they did it or whether you can prevent it. But the only thing you can do is try and create a closer knit community and try and make sure that you take care of any problems, at least nipping some of them in the bud before they start.
Fotini, your thoughts?
I live across the street from Regent Latin, the high school that Zohar, the guy who's still at large, attended. And I know it's a very diverse school. A lot of my colleagues send their kids there. According to the news feed, he seems to have been a very good athlete, a wrestler. People from his high school were suggesting that he partied and drank and smoked with them. So my reaction to all this is to also make sure that people don't get stigmatized because of where they come from. I mean, he's Chechen. There's this whole notion of, you know, he's Chechen and Muslim, and that may be what's driving this. I mean, we don't know this, and my concern is mostly about what we may presume without knowing. My sense is it could be just an individual thing rather than a community thing.
Caution and concern, tension and anticipation here in the Boston community. Ryan Borker, MIT student. Fotini Christie is speaking there, associate professor of political science at MIT. Philip Martin, senior investigative reporter for WGBH. Give us some final thoughts this hour as we reflect on a week and an amazing day.
Well, John, you know, we think about this term or this notion that terrorism, we always are adamant in saying it won't affect our way of life. And people insist upon that. But sadly, it does. It does, in fact, create a new norm. The question becomes, will it be sustained? Is that the way we're going to allow ourselves to live for a long time? Right now, the way this city is under siege, when I say the city, I mean Boston and the Boston area. Right now, at this very moment that we're speaking, you have hundreds of police officers in subways. You have National Guards with guardsmen with dogs at ready. You have bomb-sniffing dogs. You have SWAT teams out here looking for the suspect. And it has affected our way of life.
The Absolutely.
MIT student was just talking about this. What was most interesting last night about this situation on the street last night, there were no students.
Right.
There were journalists and there were cops.
And the entire community affected by the lockdown, the entire nation really affected by the events. Our thanks to Philip Martin, senior investigative reporter for WGBH, Boston Public Radio. Also Ryan Borker and Fotini Christie at MIT. What message do you, takeaway listeners, have for the people of Boston?
Dear Boston, remember to be kind to one another. Some may be hurting way under the surface. Love, Simon from Brooklyn.
Lots of responses from you at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Standing with the people of this community.
This is Kim from Rock Hill, South Carolina. Dear Boston, from the beginnings of our nation, we have had sacrifices and losses. None of them have weakened our resolve to overcome. Neither will this. This nation stands with you then, now, and in the future. Stand strong. We have your back.
Voices from South Carolina to New York.
Dear Boston, please know that we love you and that you are not alone. Love from Daisy and all of folks in Okotie, South Carolina.
I'm John Hockenberry reporting today from the studios of WGBH Boston Public Radio. The entire city in lockdown. Our special coverage continues online. Thanks for listening. This is The Takeaway.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Henry Luce Foundation for Increased Understanding of East and Southeast Asia. The Takeaway is produced by WNYC and Public Radio International in collaboration with the New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.